this is an unusual situation, one I haven't actually experienced before. Vlad Passerin, our next speaker, has noticed that his talk is a little different from the educationally based talks that are the first two. And he was wondering whether anyone would be upset if he changed. He has another talk ready to go that's more related to education. Maybe you talk about, say what that is.
Yep.
Rather than talking about the Nickel, the process of Nickel.
Yeah. Well, the talk that I was thinking may be more appropriate for the audience is the one I actually gave in 2021 online during the ASA 2021 conference. And I noticed there were not too many people in my room at the time. And the topic is rather sensitive, so it was not published in online, and it's not really accessible. It's about the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology in North Korea. So I don't know how many people are aware of this institution, but I think it's a very interesting topic. And if you are mostly educators, I could talk about that rather than teaching you about nickel and batteries. So is that of interest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it'll take us a couple of seconds to switch to the new topic.
Just put it in here.
Yeah. Oh, do you see?
Yeah, it's in the
so we can stop this one?
Yeah, you can close everything. So I'm assuming we'll be doing a major rewrite of the program to reflect this change.
How do I see that? I don't see the same icon you did here before.
Where is he?
No, no, the file manager.
Oh, I don't see it. Yeah.
Maybe it needs to be plugged in.
Is it in?
Is it in the right way?
Oh, okay, now it is.
Okay.
And, but how do I access it? That's not it, right?
That's not it, no. That's somebody else.
Maybe, let's try this. Oh, here, File Explorer. Yeah. This one. And, this one. Yeah. And it's a huge file. I have a PDF. So
it's
maybe
a PDF.
Let me try to use the PDF one. It's much smaller.
Yeah, definitely do the PDF.
This one, yeah.
Oh, you want to do the PDF. Okay. Well, you can use the larger one. There's no reason not
to
use
it's a huge one. It's 287. Is that okay?
Oh, try it. What, do you have a movie?
No. It's okay. This will work.
Okay. So you're good.
And to blow it up. How do I blow it up? That's this one here, right?
The double
R.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
Perfect.
I have to go to the microphone.
Oh, can I use this?
This is for recording.
Oh, okay. Now, again, the recording, we may not want to put this.
We don't have to use it.
Right. Okay, yeah. So I put this here somehow?
Yeah. Put that there.
Yeah, and put this in my.
Yeah.
Something like that. There.
Okay.
And then use this also?
Yeah, okay. That's for the audience.
Okay, yeah. And then let's see. I have my notes here. Maybe reading this.
All right. And you change the slide to the down.
Let's try that, yeah. Yeah, it works. Okay. Well, thank you for your patience. So a slight change in the topic, but I want to take this opportunity, given the audience, to create awareness about this institution, which I had the privilege of visiting back in 2019, so just before COVID hit. The title is Beyond Hard Power, 11 Years of Academic Engagement with North Korea. And really the main topic or the idea behind the presentation is to discuss the topic of science diplomacy. How can we use science and connection between universities and engagement of students in difficult places around the world, and basically spread the gospel, work towards peace and understanding. So it's an introduction to the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology, or PUST, as it is often referred to, a unique educational institution located in Pyongyang, North Korea, supported by various international supporters and with significant representation of international Christian community. The university has its own official language website, PUST.co, which, although not really up to date, contains useful information about PUST. So it's the first and currently the only privately operated university in DPRK, located in the capital city of Pyongyang. PUST opened its doors to first students in October 2010, so about 14 years ago now. Following almost 10 years of planning, fundraising, and construction. In 2021, when I worked on these slides, PUST had approximately 700 male and female students, including 120 graduate students, while the original vision involves up to 2,600 students on campus and 250 faculty, which is a combined number of domestic and foreign, about 50-50. That was the vision. I don't think these numbers changed too much since 2021, because DPRK is still sort of emerging from the COVID era. Yeah, so as of 2019, when I was there, the PUST represented the largest community of foreigners in DPRK, with more than 60 foreign faculty from China, Canada, UK, and other parts of the world. US was quite generously represented in the earlier years, 2010, 2011, but of course since the ban to travel to the North Korea by US citizens, and no Americans are allowed, I think that is still valid today. If you go on their website, you will see this type of statements. The mission of PUST is to pursue excellence in education with an international outlook, so that its students are diligent in studies, innovative in research, and upright in character, bringing illumination to the Korean people and the world. And a vision statement, PUST will be a premier academic educational institution that is recognized nationally and internationally for excellence in education, for innovative research, and for training students and professionals who will make a positive contribution to the society of the DPRK and the world. So you can read between the lines, there is a Christian message there. So the story of PUST is inseparably connected with the life of Dr. James Chin Kyung Kim, the founder of both PUST and YUST. YUST is a Yangbian University of Science and Technology in northern China. And the Pyongyang University was really built following the practice or experience from the Chinese institution. That's in Jilin in China. James Kim was born in 1935 in Seoul and was educated in the UK and Bristol. He holds the citizenship of four countries, South Korea, DPRK, US, and China, and likes to call himself a global citizen. James openly confesses his Christian faith, having dedicated his life to building bridges between the two Koreas, China, and the rest of the world by organizing the formation of unique institutes of higher education, YUST and PUST. At the age of 86, this was in 2021, so he's probably 88 years old. I assume he's still alive and doing well. Dr. James Kim continues to be active in supporting the cause of higher education in the region even today. When I traveled there, he wasn't able to enter the country because he has a US citizenship. But he met us at the airport in Beijing, and it was already a very sort of touching experience, him meeting us in person, making a big circle in the waiting room at the airport, prayed for us and sent us off on our way to Pyongyang. So this is the sort of a history of the of the whole project, you know, starting back in 2001, when he actually received the permission to go ahead. It took him several years to convince the North Korean government to allow this to happen. At one point, they did not trust him, and they put him in a prison where he spent, I think, several weeks or maybe a couple months, and worked on convincing the leadership that he doesn't mean anything sinister. He managed to do that and was given, I forget how many acres, just outside of Pyongyang, and with some funding from mostly South Korea and US, he was able to build a campus. So I'll just give you a little campus tour, which are photographs from my about 5-day visit there when I attended one of the conferences that they organize every couple of years. This was the most recent one. So that's the campus. 240 acres. And you can see quite nice buildings, all built within, I guess, last 20 years, with mostly Chinese technology and materials. They have one building that's called R&D Center, which is actually a set of research laboratories. This is a medical school that was under construction in 2019. Presumably it's finished by now. And these were just some photographs from my morning jog. So quite a nice campus. Not too different from Western universities. So then every couple of years they organize these conferences, which is what I was there for. So 2011, 13, 15, and 19 was the most recent one. So they had four of them so far. They managed to invite all kinds of important people. When I was there, Konstantin Novoselov, who is a Nobel laureate from 2010, I think, for the discovery of the carbon nanotubes. He was there. And of course, there was no conference since then. That's one of their graduating classes in 2016. This is actually the conference. That's Konstantin in the corner there. That's myself here. And that's what it looked like. Quite a large attendance, everybody dressed up. A little bit different than our standards here. they gave us a 254-page copy of proceedings, everything meticulously printed, prepared, paper copies. During the pandemic, the foreign faculty, of course, was not able to be on site. Everybody was sent home in early 2020, but they were able to have online courses, and there was an ongoing connection between the professors and the students to a degree. As time went on, I think that diminished, and there is currently effort underway to reestablish this foreign faculty. To my knowledge, as of last month, no one has been able to travel there yet, but there are rumors that the doors may be opening, and in September some people may be able to go back on site. So one of the ideas what we discussed, and in fact the North Korean faculty talked to me about this during my visit, is they do have a genuine desire to send students abroad. And some students have been sent to UK, Sweden in the past. So this is one opportunity that we can sort of think about and pray for, is to open this door, to have, we all know how life-changing and formative it is when a student spends time in a foreign land, in a different environment. Just some pictures. That's a well-known image of the two Koreas. You can see a vast difference in electrification. And Pyongyang itself is actually a very nice city, extremely orderly, clean. These are some pictures I took. And they showed us around. I visited the border area from the north side, which was interesting. I was on the other side a few years before that. So the Pust community is very close to where this, I think it's Arch of Unification, that picture there, just outside of Pyongyang. Now, unfortunately, as of January of this year, this thing was blown up because of the situation between the two Koreas currently. So that's no longer there, but this is what it looked like in 2019. And it was interesting to see this openness, the expression towards reunification, at least at that time. Just a few slides on some background on Christianity in Korea. I wasn't really aware of this, but after doing some reading and studying, the Pyongyang was known as the Jerusalem of the East pre-1950. There were a lot of churches there, many missionaries. It was really the work that started with Robert Thomas of Wales, who went there back in mid-1800s or late 1800s. And so I'm basically trying to present this as an opportunity for a fertile tent-making grounds for visiting and remote teaching educators. Just got one or two slides of my own story of traveling there. I received an invitation from someone that I was in touch with who has been an administrator at a university. And a little bit naively, I went to my university management in Waterloo and suggested that I want to go there because I wasn't asking for any financial support. So I was naively thinking that I would be allowed to go and maybe put the University of Waterloo on my slides or something like that. Well, I received a strong rejection from the university leadership, a formal letter discouraging me from accepting the invitation and also mandating me not to represent my university and make no mention of my affiliation. So I was a little surprised by that, but I decided to go anyways on my own, and I did not mention my university affiliation. But everything went smoothly, and when I came back, I actually went to see the administrators at my school, and I recommended to the International Affairs Office to consider developing a formal relationship or collaboration between our universities. And I'm still of this opinion that this is one way to build bridges and work towards changes. So science diplomacy is basically a series of actions to improve relationships beyond political borders through science collaborations, mutual exchange of scientific information and joint research. The goal is to remove walls between nations, build bridges, jointly work on solving global issues such as climate change, food shortage, disease, and access to education. Perhaps this may be one of the most innovative methods of advancing peace and security. How can we get involved in this, if you might be interested? There is an ongoing search for professors, lecturers. These are the areas roughly matching the faculties that they have at this university. Language studies are important, and the qualification is at least a master's degree. The PhD is not a requirement at this time in these fields. There is an email which is being monitored by people in Europe, so feel free to send a message there if you are interested. So we don't know what the future holds. It's a very uncertain part of the world. This was on one of the doors on campus. Let's get along, use kind words, be quick to forgive, listen, share, encourage others, take turns, think before acting, talk it over. So Pust is seeking to be a beacon of love, care, and solidarity, working toward a better world of tomorrow, toward peace on Korean Peninsula and integration of higher education in Asia and internationally. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the first question. That was sort of an amazing talk, I think, something that I didn't expect. I guess my first question is just, you said this was a privately funded university.
Yes.
So that my question is, I mean, we've all heard a lot of horror stories about the North
yes.
Korean government. Was there any, is there any obvious involvement of, say, security forces? Or?
Yeah, I was wondering what to expect there. Of course, I was searched in detail at the airport. I had a clean computer, except I forgot photographs from the wedding I attended previous week on my computer. So they studied each photograph in great detail. But it was mostly uneventful. The campus is fenced, and there are sort of guards. They are all female. Young girls are the guards. But we were able to move about within the campus. And then they took us a couple times to the city, and we were able to move about freely. It looks like the North Korean government appreciates this work. In fact, I learned that many of the government officials' children attend this university, because that's where they learn English. So it's well received. Of course, there are sensitivities around this. At one point, a couple professors spent some time in prison because they were accused of some things, but eventually it was clarified, they were let go. Yeah.
Questions? Yes. Just wondering, like the goal is to bridge, make bridges.
Yep.
And there's maybe a Christian vision behind some of that. Why choose science and technology and not the humanities and social sciences? What's the strategy there?
That's a good repeat the question. Yes, why is the university a science and technology university and not humanities? That's a good question, and I don't know the answer, but I'm guessing that Dr. Kim considered the topic of sciences and technology as being more workable. Like if he suggested that he's going to open a religious studies department, you know, it may not probably not fly. So that's my guess right now. Of course, it brings up all kinds of sensitivities, and I've been attending some of these online lectures and master's thesis defense and things like that. I was helping with that. And it is a tight line that we are walking here, because we can easily be accused of, you know, teaching them things that we should not be teaching them, which I think is a little bit naive, because it's not so difficult to gain access to basic technical information, right, at undergraduate level. So I don't know if that answers your question. Yes?
Yeah, I had two questions. One was maybe you addressed this earlier and I missed it, but is there actually research that's being done, or is it just scientific education at IIT?
Yeah, there is an element of research, as I mentioned, the couple master's theses that I witnessed, it's fairly rudimentary. I mean, one of the things I remember from the research center is they had a number of 3D printers, and they are very sort of, you know, self-sufficient. The whole school of thought of Juche, I don't know how much you know about that, but Juche in Korean means self-sufficiency. You know, no one is helping us. Everything is sort of boycotted, so we will do it ourselves. And it actually is visible that they are able to, you know, carry on, build their own cars. And agriculture is a big topic there. So there was a large section of the R&D center is dedicated to plants research, and you can do a, you know, reasonably deep research in that area. Well, that's a good question. I had an interesting experience when I was traveling through Beijing, and in China you cannot get on Google. Google is banned. But in Pyongyang, I was able to access Google no problem. So the internet access is controlled, and I think the faculty and the visitors had probably much easier access than students. But I didn't have an impression that the students would be somehow deprived of information or books or something like that. Yeah.
because I did some work as a soil scientist in Romania.
Okay.
And I went over and presented just strictly soil science, but was able to make the intro when I was introducing myself that I was a Christian, and that was all I said.
Mm.
And then had some questions afterwards.
You want to use this?
Sorry. <Yeah. coughs> When I went to Romania in the 90s to work as a soil scientist, I was able to present research and all of the things, and of course they were very interested in agriculture then as well. But all I did in terms of faith and science was just to say, I believe in God, Jesus Christ, and that was all that was said. And what was interesting to me is they would come up to me one by one, can we take a walk on the street? And so we would go walk on the street, and with the women, of course, we held arms, and they would whisper in my ear, how can you be a scientist and a Christian?
Mm.
Did you encounter anything of that nature?
Well, not really, because the topic of religion is a taboo. So we were very careful about that. The way the witness is sort of delivered by the foreign faculty is just by their kindness and treating the students with love. I was able to have meal with the Koreans. They were extremely keen on practicing their English, as was I. The open sort of proselytizing would be out of question. That would shut down the whole project. But I think there is a very clear awareness of who these people, who these foreigners are. And when you go on the website pus.co, there is a section under news. You can read the articles from New York Times and Economist, I think, from early 2010s. When the university was just opened, it was broadly published who is behind this and what the intentions are.
Any more questions?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. One of the persons from our church ended up teaching English at both of these universities. And the question I have is, what's the cost for a North Korean student?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I was not able to get that information. It did look like the group of students who were there were privileged people. I don't know if they were mostly from the government families, but what was most striking is just the discipline that these students have. I remember the first morning I woke up to a loud singing at 6 a.m. And they are marching from building A to building B, in unison and singing patriotic songs at 6 a.m. And that's just the culture that they grow up in. Having growing up in communism, I can relate to some of those things, but that was an extreme. Well, thank you for your attention.